Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 43. Translation: the great sage Narada also inquired in detail from his father Brahma, the great grandfather of all the universe, after seeing him well satisfied. And purport by Srila Prabhupada. The process of understanding spiritual or transcendental knowledge from the realized person is not exactly like asking an ordinary question from the schoolmaster. The schoolmaster in the modern days, the schoolmasters in the modern days are paid agents for giving some information, but the spiritual master is not a paid agent, nor can he impart instruction without being authorized. In the Bhagavad Gita 4:34, the process of understanding transcendental knowledge is directed as follows: Tadviti pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanaha. Arjuna was advised to receive transcendental knowledge from the realized person by surrender, questions, and service. Realized transcendental knowledge is not like exchanging dollars. Such knowledge has to be received by service to the spiritual master. As Brahmaji received the knowledge directly from the Lord by satisfying Him fully, similarly one has to receive the transcendental knowledge from the spiritual master by satisfying Him. The spiritual master's satisfaction is the means of assimilating transcendental knowledge. These are very important messages. One cannot understand transcendental knowledge simply by becoming a grammarian. The Vedas declare, Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6:23, Yasya devi para bhaktir tata devi katata guru tasyaite katita yarta prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto one who has unflinching devotion to the Lord and the spiritual master does transcendental knowledge become automatically revealed. That's a quote. Such relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master is eternal. One who is not the disciple one who is now the disciple is the next spiritual master. And one cannot be a bona fide and authorized spiritual master unless one has been strictly obedient to his spiritual master. Brahmaji, as a disciple of the Supreme Lord, received the real knowledge and imparted it to his dear disciple Narada, and similarly Narada, the spiritual master, handed over this knowledge to Vyas, and so on. Therefore, the so-called formal spiritual master and disciple are not facsimiles of Brahma and Narada, or Narada and Vyas. The relationship between Brahma and Narada is reality, whereas the so-called formality of the relationship between the cheater while the so-called formality is the relationship between the cheater and the cheated, it is clearly mentioned herewith that Narada is not only well-behaved, meek and obedient, but also self-controlled. That was from yesterday evening. Yesterday evening's verse reads, Narada, the most dear of the inheritor son of Brahma, always ready to serve his father, strictly followed the instructions of his father by his mannerly behavior, meekness, and sense control. So here it says, it is clearly mentioned herewith that Narada is not only well behaved, meek, and obedient, but also self-controlled. When he was not self-controlled, specifically in sex life, can become neither a disciple nor a spiritual master. One must have disciplinary training in controlling speaking, anger, the tongue, the mind, the belly, and the genitals. This is the first verse of Nectar of Instruction. Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam. One who has controlled the particular senses mentioned above is called a Goswami. Well, listen to this sentence. Without becoming a Goswami, one can become neither a disciple nor a spiritual master. The other day someone was in an interesting mood and manner was asking to become a disciple. Same qualification identified to become a disciple as to become a spiritual master. The so-called spiritual master without sense control is certainly the cheater, and the disciple of such a so-called spiritual master is cheated. And the final paragraph. One should not think of Brahmaji as a dead great-grandfather, as we have experienced on this planet. He is the oldest great-grandfather, and he is still living, and Narada is also living. The age of the inhabitants of Brahmaloka planet is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. The inhabitants of this small planet Earth can hardly calculate even the duration of one day of Brahma. End of purport. And the verse again. Tushtam Nishamya Pitaram Lokam Patipa Patitamaha Devarshi Paripaprachcha Bhavanyan Manupichati. The great sage Narada also inquired in detail from his father Brahmaji, the great grandfather of all the universe, after seeing him well satisfied. So Srila Prabhupada is taking these three verses in a row and combining them into a nice presentation of the spiritual master and disciple relationship. It's not the first time in the Bhagavatam that that relationship is described. It's thematically described again and again and again because it's such an important subject. The subject of how to receive transcendental knowledge. Subject that, by coincidence, just chose to speak about the qualifications of Maharishi Parikshit to receive Srimad Bhagavatam. What we need to do to receive transcendental knowledge. Because that's our life. on a spiritual path. That's our life. It's not on the side. The Krishna consciousness or Vedic way is not, the word is in common language, is secular. Secular is, this is what I do for God, and this is what I do the rest of my life. Secular religion is like that. So much for God and so much for me. Or my family, my country, the state. I have the Constitution of the United States of America has made that separation. By law, you cannot mix church and state. It's a secular government. By law, you cannot have God in the schools, because that's a government function. You can have your religious schools and have religion in the school, but that function of government, it has to be separated. That's not Vedic society. And people have a tendency to live their lives that way. They go to the church, mosque, or temple, or synagogue, and they do their prayers to God or their religious function, and then they go to work, live their family life, play golf, do their things that have nothing to do with God. And that's not our Vedic system. Take the system of education. That's this secular system of education. Is this approach to the school teacher taught in our modern education system? I remember when I was very small, there was some idea that was kind of a cute idea, that you bring an apple to the teacher. And I didn't understand what that was all about. Now I understand what that was all about. It's part of the relationship between a more Vedic model, where you make offerings to the teacher because they're giving transcendental, or because they're giving knowledge. I mean, the position of the Brahmana, where the Brahmana was not paid, but the Brahmana was maintained by the students who would either bring something from their home or on behalf of the guru do a little madhukari and offer to the guru whatever they would receive. And that was the maintenance of the teacher. That was the maintenance of the Brahmana, whatever he would receive by charity. It's not that you enroll in my school and there's some fee. And that system worked because people were cultured. They could understand that when you're in receiving something, I should offer something. But what's indicated here is first satisfy, then inquire. That's the sequence. After seeing him well satisfied, tushtam, then nishamya pitaram. And there's a reason why that sequence is the way that it is. It's not like first there's some payment. The Prabhupada goes through this in the purport, that receiving transcendental knowledge is not like some monetary exchange. I give you some money, you give me some knowledge. It's not a monetary exchange. Nor the other way around. I give you some money, you give me some knowledge in grammar and Sanskrit, because you need the grammatical rules along with the Sanskrit meanings in order to know which meaning, because there's rules, grammatical rules. And then you have access into the knowledge of the Vedas. Not that either. One cannot understand transcendental knowledge simply by becoming a grammarian. Therefore, Prabhupada deliberately did not place much emphasis on learning Sanskrit. Some people are surprised. You don't know Sanskrit? Your teacher didn't teach you to, because that's the conventional access into the Vedas. Learn Sanskrit, learn the rules of grammar, and then you can unlock the doors of transcendental knowledge by grammatical jugglery. This means that. That means another thing, and another thing means something else. It's never the direct meaning, it's some this means that by grammatical jugglery. I attended a program in a Bengali community in America, a group of Bengali families, because they were the hosts, so they brought their friends, they were all Bengalis. At the end of the program, one elderly man said, "It was very nice what you described. Now, can you give us some different meanings of verses from Bhagavad Gita?" Because that's what he was used to. This means that. And right away I could understand where his question was coming from. And in a very polite and calm manner, I said, "We don't do that. We're speaking Bhagavad Gita as it is, and we take the direct meaning. The meaning is what it is. When Krishna says, 'Surrender unto me,' he means it. We should surrender unto Krishna. An indirect meaning might be, don't surrender to Krishna, surrender to something else. What Krishna really means to say is, as if Krishna is quite incompetent to say what he means. And he requires us to say what he really means. But if we accept Krishna's competence, he certainly can say what he means. And he means what he says. The man was bewildered. Because he was so used to this means that. By grammatical jugglery. So Prabhupada's point is, and it sounds poetic. I mean, you know, it sounds poetic, but it's not what real poetry is. Here's what Rupa Goswami says what real poetry is. When describing the transcendental, because it's not within our experience, we must use metaphor. It is like this, something within our experience to understand something beyond our experience. That's what a metaphor. And so to describe love of God, to describe the spiritual world, we can only describe incompletely and indirectly. And therefore, one of the 26 qualities of a devotee is that he's poetic. And it's a natural embellishment because the devotee has some experience here, and because he's situated in transcendence, the devotee has some experience there and wanting to communicate that with this, then he uses metaphor. And so the writings of Rupa Goswami are filled with metaphors. And they're natural ornaments based on transcendental realization. But Vyas was not just a grammarian. And a student of Vyas is not just a grammarian. So what is a student of Vyas? Well, a student of Vyas is like Vyas, and who is like Narada, and what was Narada like? So we have that picture. The Sanskrit words are Shilanam. Shilanam, or Shilena, is mannerly behavior. Prabhupada said on more than one occasion, one can understand who is my disciple because he's a perfect gentleman. Wow, that's a nice standard to be known by, isn't it? The disciples of Swamiji, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, are perfect gentlemen. Shilena. We have a long ways to go. But that's the standard. That's the Narada standard. Mannerly behavior. And meek and obedient. Meek means not trembling, cowering. That's a nice spirit. It doesn't mean that. It means not confrontational and challenging, but obedient. Because that's what was indicated in the previous verse. When Narada received instructions from Brahma, he was very obedient to those instructions. Like the verse from Bhagavad Gita 4:34, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. What he's doing here, this nishamya, is he's inquiring. But when one inquires, there's something on the front end and there's something on the back end. The front end is pranipat, which is submission. And the back end is you do it. You know, some question is raised, the how-to questions. The front end should be submission and the back end should be you do it. Then there's transcendental knowledge. If there's no submission on the front end and what to speak of no application on the back end, there's no transcendental knowledge. Most likely in Kali Yuga, it's either not understood or it's in one ear and out the other ear. It doesn't stick. For it to stick, for it to go more than just information that sticks, for it to become, to bring about transformation of character, it requires this obedience. You do it. You live by it. That's the purpose of the inquiry. So well-behaved, shilena, meek and obedient, prashriena, and the third one is dhamena, self-controlled. We find that in the qualities of a brahmana, samad dhamak tapak shocham, Shantir arjavam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavacham. Dhamma. Samadhamma kapakshocham. Dhamena. Sense-controlled. Sense-controlled means when you want to do something, you follow through. When you want to not do something, you follow through. You don't do that something. We all have the experience. We want to make some improvement because we recognize there's something. If I did this something, it would help me. I would become better. It would improve my life. We think about it, but we don't do it. And the other, there's some things that we shouldn't do. We think, yeah, this is a bad habit. I shouldn't do it. Whatever it is. When somebody speaks something nasty, I shouldn't get angry. I should maintain my composure. Don't become angry. And the next moment, why did I get angry again? Dhammena. So these qualities are not, you can't go to the marketplace and buy some. Their qualities become decorations by Krishna. Krishna, just like ornaments, Krishna places ornaments of good qualities upon his devotee. When he sees that devotee is very fixed in their purpose of trying to please him. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sair vairganais tatra samasutesara. You've heard that verse before, yes? Akinchana, when one becomes, one is akinchana, what does akinchana mean? Akinchana? Having no material shelter. When you're not coveting or having expectations of material happiness and you approach Krishna, your happiness is your relationship with Krishna. When Krishna sees that disposition, he then decorates his devotee with nice qualities. All nice qualities. For that one quality. Or I'll say the same thing in a different way. There are 26 qualities of a devotee mentioned in Nectar of Devotion and elsewhere. Out of those 26 qualities, one of them is principal and the other are secondary. Or one is Svarup Lakshana, then the other 25 are Tatastha Lakshana. Tatastha means marginal. They're dependent upon the one. So what's the one quality from which all other qualities are secondary and derive their existence from, derive their strength from? What's that one quality in Nectar of Devotion? Krishna Eka Sharana. Note takers, note it down. Krishna Eka Sharana. Sharana means surrender. They're surrendered to Krishna alone. And when Krishna sees that, they're surrendered to me alone, he decorates with other qualities. Or another reference that says the same thing. I'm giving you three options to understand one point. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, texts 8 through 12, Krishna presents items of knowledge, jnanam. And there's 19 items of knowledge that he mentions. Of those 19 items of knowledge, in the first paragraph of the long purport, Prabhupada identifies that there's one that's most important among all of them from which the other items come. What is that one item mentioned in chapter 13, texts 8 through 12? No, that's next. Maichananya yogena bhaktir avyabhicharini. Exclusive devotion to the personality of Godhead. Krishna Eka Sharana. Rupa Goswami just made it easy for us. Exclusive devotion to the personality, no other shelter. Not shelter in family, in wealth, in our cleverness, our intellect, our position in society. None of those are shelters. Some knowledge you may have, some ability you may have, some strength you may have. Those are all decorations from Krishna, but the one shelter is Krishna. And exclusive devotion, avyavichari bhakti. So, now, how does one come to that avyavichari bhakti? Acharya upasana, through the medium of the spiritual master. So that's what the topic is here. The focus is going to how did Narada become Narada? How did Narada receive from Brahma all that Brahma had to offer and thus become the best amongst his many sons? Because he had this qualification, acharya upasana, or here, tushtam, he satisfied his father by these nice qualities, good behavior, meek and obedient, sense control. And those were decorations upon him because of his full shelter in his father, and his father was giving full shelter in the personality of Godhead. It's like, I'll give another example. Very nice example. The example of Sanatana Goswami. Now, like our discussion yesterday evening about developing a quality, this is an example of how we develop qualities. We speak about, glorify, remember, worship great personalities, perfected souls. So here's one, Sanatana Goswami. When Prabhupada would speak about Sanatana Goswami, invariably he would speak. He was in such an exalted position, practically the Prime Minister of India, with fabulous wealth, vast education. He spoke 7 languages fluently. He was on top of the pile. What do people do to get to that position today? What maneuvering and manipulations and efforts they put to get to that position. Sanatana Goswami gave it up like garbage. Left it. To go live in Vrindavan, have one loincloth and one chadar and live under a tree. No wealth, no opulence, apparently. No material opulence. No position. Nothing. But he had something. He had exclusive shelter in Krishna. And because of that exclusive shelter in Krishna, he and his natural quality of a devotee being self-sacrificing or serving others, Sanatana Goswami traveled throughout all of Braja from, you've seen these little villages, village to village to village, and he would spend a night, spend an afternoon, evening in a local village. And he was like their mother, father, and best friend and well-wisher, and he would ask, he would know all about all the affairs. He would ask, How are your crops this year? Did your daughter get married? Was the child yet born? How is your wife's health? What one might think normal, like mundane affairs. But he was caring. And if there was some dispute, between one party and another party in the village. They would sit before Sanatana Goswami, he would hear, he would say, and that was it. Because they had such faith in him. So he was, you could say, coming down to their position, but he was giving them the highest thing. Because that was the platform he was on. But he didn't hold himself above. He was part of everybody. And because of that, they felt perfectly cared for, perfectly loved. And he gave them prema bhakti in very simple and innocent ways when he would speak and discuss from the scriptures in the evening. They loved him. So that their hearts then became open to hear that message, they could then receive that message. And that's how this process of this disciple-spiritual-master relationship works. It's not based upon scholarship. It's not based upon what your social position is, or your education, or your wealth. It's not based upon those things. It's based upon the proper relationship, the submission, and control of the senses, control of the mind. Samadhamma, tapakshocham. So although our training is not Vaishnava, by Vaishnava training, we're simultaneously being trained to become first-class persons. And that's what Prabhupada said about the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He wanted to train. He would describe the decadent situation of the world today and then say, what is the solution? We need a group of first-class men that could influence this other group of people. And this organization, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is to train such first-class men. So these qualifications, they're brahminical qualifications. And who's brahminical? Even if by birth or brahmana, what's the quality? So it's not by birth, it's by training. And that's the training that we're receiving. And if we're going to receive the full gift of transcendental knowledge that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the world, love of God, or same, the gift of the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the gift that Prabhupada wanted to give to the world, we have to have these Narada-like qualifications. Good behavior. Good behavior means, by the standard of scripture, meek and obedient. Sense controlled. His statement here is, if one is not sense controlled, specifically in the matter of sex life, there's no question of receiving or giving transcendental knowledge. Therefore, we have this standard, no illicit sex. And it's not unclear what that is. Sometimes devotees make it unclear or try to make it unclear, but it's not unclear. There's one very interesting purport earlier in this canto where Prabhupada gets a hammer and a nail and bam, 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 makes it so clear, just hits it right on the head and says that there's no question of transcendental knowledge if one is not proper in this principle of life. You just will not make spiritual progress. I've seen it. Devotees bend it this way and bend it that way. It's very clear. It's very clear for what the standard for brahmachari and sannyasi is, and it's very clear what the standard for a grahasta is. And change that, do some manipulation to make it something other, and you won't get the benefit of transcendental knowledge. You won't be able to, specifically, Prabhupada says, you won't be able to advance in spiritual life. So Prabhupada wasn't being unrealistic. Oh, this is the age of Kali and people can't follow these standards. Swamiji was too strict. It's real. Swamiji wanted to give us Krishna consciousness. He wanted to give us access to the spiritual world. And the standards are very clear. That we need to follow. One who can control these urges, vacho vegam, manasa, krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam. Control those urges, you can be a student, you can receive, and you can also become a qualified teacher. You can't be a qualified teacher if you're not a qualified student. You can't be a qualified student if you don't have control of these urges. That's a must. And by acting and practicing and training in that way, then tushtam satisfies the teacher, or it satisfies Lord Brahma. It satisfies the person who is then able to give Jnaninas Tattva Darshana. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge. That's how it happens. Here's Prabhupada's language. The spiritual master's satisfaction is the means of assimilating transcendental knowledge. So there's transcendental knowledge. You read Bhagavad Gita. We read Bhagavad Gita and we read Bhagavad Gita. And somehow we're not progressing. Because it's not just an academic affair. But if the spirit behind our reading is to focus on the personality of Godhead and his representatives and to satisfy them by our conduct, by our obedience, by our good manners, by our sense control, we want to please them, then this will assimilate. They have this word in diet. Some persons have an assimilation problem. You've heard of that? They eat, but their body doesn't get any nourishment. They have an assimilation problem. So this is, we read, but we don't assimilate the knowledge. The real value, the nutrient value of the transcendental knowledge doesn't come into our being. So the secret to how that does happen is the spiritual master's satisfaction. So back to chapter 13, text 8 through 12. Maichana nyoyogena bhaktir avyabhicharini. That's at the top of the pyramid. Right behind that, below that, acharya upasana. Or in Rupa Goswami, he has another term. Guru Padashraya. Same meaning. Guru Padashraya. And then from those two, everything else flows. At the top of the next rung on the pyramid is Amanitvam Adambitvam. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Amanina Manadena. Flows from those two. And then all the rest of the qualities, which are items of knowledge. Knowledge is actually qualities. You have qualities, you have knowledge. You don't have qualities, you won't have knowledge. You may have information, you won't have knowledge. And last point, in the purport, Prabhupada says it slightly differently, but the proper relationship is reality, not cheat or cheated. It's reality. Then he also says it's eternal. The spiritual master-disciple relationship is eternal. It's sat. It's reality. It's not asat. Like who your second grade teacher was in primary education. Do you remember that person and their name, and is that relationship a lasting relationship? But the spiritual master and disciple relationship, when it's proper, it's sat. It's reality. And we're being given an opportunity to enter into the whole realm of reality through that conduit, through that little opening, that channel, into the whole realm of sat. That's Krishna's system. That's how he set up this world. We can enter into the spiritual world from this material world through that opening. That's the doorway. Mahat Sevam Dvaram Ahura Vimuktes. In Rishabhdev's teachings. So Narada is showing by example. Previously, Brahma was showing by example. Narada shows, and that's how we should do. We see their example, now we know how to follow. Now, obediently, with sense control, and with good manners, let us follow the example of Narada Muni, and enter into the realm of Sat. Okay, thank you very much. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In the past, like in the, a few days back, we talked about this. Each one of us has his own rasa and spiritual identity. So, is it a quality, Maharaj, according to like how we're discussing the qualities of a devotee? What, like, how to differentiate? What is the spiritual identity and the qualities of a devotee?
When I was speaking that point about spiritual identity, this is in a very, very super elevated, advanced stage of spiritual life. It means, what I meant by that statement is that we have our original spiritual form. Just like within a seed, take a flower, a seed of a marigold or a tulsi. There's so many different, there are varieties of tulsi. So within a tulsi manjari, there's some tulsi seeds, and you plant the tulsi seed, and it'll grow into a tulsi plant. Within the seed already is the particular, some are green, some are blue, they're different, lighter green, darker green, different, smaller leaves, bigger leaves, but they're all of the same, tulsi, some species. Within the seed is the potential of the full plant and its variety. How big, how bushy, how, so many things. So, same. We all, not only we're spirit soul, but we're constitutionally servants of Krishna. Not only we're constitutionally servants of Krishna, but there's a particular rasa in relation to Krishna. Not only there's a particular rasa, but there's a particular manifestation of that. There's very, very specific features. They're constitutionally already there. So Svarup is what that is on the liberated platform. So what we do on this platform is we practice devotional service to get out of the illusion that we're these bodies and get into the reality that we're constitutionally servants of Krishna as spirit souls. And then from there, things unfold and unfold and unfold. Up to understanding what our spiritual form is, our spiritual name is, our particular service in the relationship of Radha and Krishna loving exchanges. That's way up there. We don't need to worry about it right now. We need to focus our attention on distinguishing matter from spirit and being clear that we're spirit. And that this, when we render service, it's the spirit soul that's being directly connected to Krishna through the medium of devotional service. That's where our attention should go at this stage. We have a direct connection, direct relationship with Krishna through the medium of service. Whatever it is that we're doing. When we're worshipping the deity, boys, behave nicely. When we're worshipping the deities, when we're hearing from the scripture, when we're performing Guru Puja, when we're cleaning the floor, when we're doing our various... In the beginning stage, we're very much identifying with the material circumstance. But spiritually, the soul is being activated. Krishna is accepting that service being offered by the soul. And the soul and Krishna connection is being made. And as that consciousness of Krishna grows, then more and more details of our spiritual identity can be understood. Anything else?
Guru Maharaj, the qualities you spoke about are the qualities of the soul or the body? That Krishna decorates us with different qualities?
They're
at the soul level?
Qualities of a devotee. They're qualities of 26 qualities of a devotee, and there are devotional qualities that Krishna decorates us with. Like, let's take, you know, this one of being able to control the senses. As practicing devotees, we have some degree, but not the full range of control. The full range of control is, I wish to overcome this shortcoming. And boom. So we don't have that capacity. But Krishna decorates us with that capacity. As he sees our unflinching faith and shelter in him. Without that, that quality isn't going to develop. We stay in the struggling position.
Maharaj, in this class you said people interpret differently in a deviating manner about life. But what is the reason for misinterpreting like that?
What's the reason for interpreting?
Yeah, misinterpreting.
The reason is the same reason is that why we're in this material world. We have some aversion to Krishna. So, taking a direct meaning, just like, you know, that you give some instruction to your child. Can you please do this? And he's interpreting according to what he wants. He does that and smiles. And you said, you smile. You say, no, I want you to do this. He smiles and does that. That he has some other... But then this obedience is, he smiles and does exactly what you wish. Now there's some things that we do like that. It's a codicy fast from beans and veins, so we do that. But then there may be some other ones that, you know, we don't so readily do. Or philosophically, something. We just, you know, it interferes with our sense gratification, our sense of independence that we're very dearly attached to. For impersonalists who are extremely prone to interpretation, it's, you know, they've got a particular goal that they want to become one with God. So you have to change the meanings of scriptures in order to line up with becoming one with God. Or becoming God. In the sense of absolute oneness. Kevala Advaita. So you have to interpret. That's their reason for interpreting. I want to become absolutely one with God. I want to become God. So this means that. When Krishna says surrender to me, he doesn't mean surrender unto me. He means something else. He means surrender unto the unborn, unmanifest within Krishna. That's what he means. He's not so competent to speak well. What he really means is that. Because they're motivated with something.
How to avoid that kind of...
Well, we take things as it is. You know, that's Prabhupada's very simple remedy. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita as it is, we don't interpret. Krishna says, surrender unto me. Okay, surrender to Krishna. Krishna says, think of me. We think of Krishna. Not think of the unmanifest. But we think of Krishna. And another thing is, Prabhupada warned us, don't read so many books. We certainly don't read other books, but even meaning, you know, I know some very scholarly persons, nice devotees, but before becoming devotees, they read so many books, so many books, and so many books, and so many books, and so many books. So now when they are sharing Krishna conscious understandings with others, their Krishna conscious understandings are mixed with all these things they read in other books and other books, and it's really, it's unpalatable kittering. It's really a mixture of like so much stuff. So one should not read so many books. We don't need to. We just need Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything we... And Bhagavad Gita. The Prabhupada supplemented those with other things, and that's fine.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
My question is, like we cannot serve directly Krishna, and we can serve only through parampara or guru. But sometimes when we hear a lecture from a speaker, he says like, you will never be able to reach Krishna, or it's like you have to stand outside. It's like there is a lot of distance between Krishna and a living entity. He cannot serve directly.
Well, it's not distance, it's respect. It's a disposition of heart. When the pujari is addressing the deity, there's a procedure. The procedure is there's mantras, and you approach the deity by first approaching the spiritual master. They're both right there on the altar, at least the picture of the spiritual master, and the deity is on the altar. You take permission from the spiritual master to approach the deity. On their behalf, you're serving. So it's etiquette. It's not distance.
I mean, the reciprocation is direct?
The reciprocation is direct. It's, yes. That's a very important point. Philosophically, this is a big issue in Christianity, where they don't want to have... That like the Protestants don't want to have an intermediary between themselves and God. And the Catholics feel you have to have an intermediary between yourself and God. And in either case, there must be, you know, if intermediary or none, the experience is direct. Prabhupada's example is the example of eyeglasses. Without my eyeglasses, my seeing is not distinct. I mean, I know you're sitting there, but your features are not so clear. So, by use of my eyeglasses, my seeing is direct. But I'm taking the assistance of the eyeglasses. Through the eyeglasses, I'm able to see. But the seeing is direct. So through the medium of the transparent spiritual master, we approach Krishna. And it's not just that this is a physical object, so it's not personalized, but in approaching Krishna, it's highly personalized. So the spiritual master, as the direct representative of Krishna, is respected like Krishna. Not that the spiritual master is Krishna, but respected like Krishna. And then the experience is had, and the experience is direct. I don't mistake the guru as God, but I respect the guru as God because of being representative. And God wants it like that. God wants us to have that disposition to His representative. And here's a very simple understanding why that is so. In the spiritual world, option A or B, is it just going to be you and Krishna and nobody else? Or B, you're at the lotus feet of Krishna surrounded by, and His lotus feet are surrounded by unlimited numbers of loving, pure devotees who are serving Him with all their heart, with great happiness. It's option B. So to prepare us for option B, we have this arrangement that at least one such representative, or that one representative will teach us to respect many such representatives. But start with one. Just like a child with their parent. The child should be obedient to their parent, and a small child is very attached to their parent. And of course, of maturing, they can understand, they can have other relationships too without abandoning their parent. They become mature. But that relationship is very, very special. Okay? Transparent. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.